Good, okay, good. That was an old hymn, actually, with a new song by the Gettys. So that's probably why you were... It was easy to sing, wasn't it? Easy to learn, which is why I liked it. Good. We've been following on, as Melissa said, the last 2 weeks we've been talking about God, our judge, judging wickedness and judging rebellion. Now, thankfully today I've got a more upbeat message, which is God, our judge, rewarding faithfulness. And we're going to start by looking at Matthew 24 and reading from verse 25 through to 36. It's up there on the screen. It's New Living Translation. Might be slightly different to what Ruth has put up, but that's the way it happens these days. It points us to the fact that there is no doubt we will be judged. Jesus speaking, I have warned you about this ahead of time. So if someone tells you, look, the Messiah is out in the desert, don't bother to go and look. Or look, he is hiding here. Don't believe it. For as the lightning flashes in the east and shines to the west, so it will be when the Son of Man comes. Just as the gathering of vultures shows there is a carcass nearby, so these signs indicate that the end is near. Immediately after the anguish of these days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will give no light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then at last, the sign that the Son of Man is coming will appear in the heavens. And there will be deep mourning among all the peoples of the earth. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with the mighty blast of a trumpet. And they will gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest ends of the earth and heaven. Now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things, you can know his return is very near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass from the scene until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. However, no one knows the day or hour when these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. Christ coming again, and there will be a time of judgment. So God, our judge, and we're looking now on into chapter 25, and it's all the chapter, the whole chapter. So I'm not going to read it for you because I think most of you know these stories. But first of all, there is the story of the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. Jesus in chapter 25 talks in two parables and then some further teaching with an illustration. Do you remember the story of the 10 bridesmaids? Okay, they were ready. What used to happen was that the bride and the bridegroom would go to the bride's house and the ceremony would take place, and then they would wait for the bridegroom to return back to his home before the great celebration takes place. Sometimes a feast lasting up to a week. Okay, imagine that. These 10 bridesmaids were waiting for the bridegroom to reappear. And he took longer than they were expecting. And if you remember the story, 5 of them were well prepared and had extra oil. Always comes to mind 3-in-1 oil. I don't know why, but anyway, there's probably a theological story there to tell. But anyway, they had extra oil ready for when their lamps grew dim. But 5 of them were not prepared and were not ready when the bridegroom eventually came and had to go and buy extra oil, at which point they missed out on the bridegroom coming with the bride and the procession and for the festivities to begin. They missed out. While they'd gone to buy oil, Christ returns. While they're taken up with other things. Jesus ends this parable by saying, be ready. So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or the hour of my return. We need to be ready and waiting. We need to be prepared. Because if we're not prepared, then we can be excluded. Not ready and excluded. The responsibility is ours to be ready. It's not anybody else's responsibility, it's ours. Our spiritual readiness is down to us. We are encouraged by others. Others try and build us up and encourage us when we're down, rejoice when us when we're glad. But our spiritual state is down to us as individuals, our relationship with God. And it's a picture here of making sure that we are ready people for when Christ does return. And then we go on to the parable of the three servants, or the parable of the loaned money, in verses 14 through to 30. Do you remember that story where the master was going on a long journey, and as he left the three servants with five talents, three talents, and one talent, each according to their abilities, probably their seniority, the amount of responsibility they had within the master's house. And after a long while, he comes back to find out what's gone on. And while he's been away, the one who's given the five talents has worked on that and developed and has now an extra five talents. He's doubled the money. The same with the one who had three talents. He's now doubled his money. And the one who had one talent has done what? Buried it, dug a hole in the ground and said funny words about, I knew you were a cruel master and so on and so forth, so I thought I'd give you back what you gave me. Notice that in the story, the praise of the master is exactly the same for the one who had five talents and the one who had three talents. Well done, good and faithful servants. You have been faithful in handling these small amounts, so now I will give you many more responsibility. Let's celebrate together. That was to the one who had five and made another five. And then the one who made three, the master said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. And then the one who had done nothing with the money, not used the gift that had been given, the money, he was cast aside. And his talent was given to the one who now had made five extra. The parable of the loaned money. I'm sure when Jesus told this story, there were many who were standing there who thought Jesus is going to, the Messiah is going to return. They didn't know at that time, they wouldn't have worked out that it was Jesus probably, but hey, the Messiah was going to come back within their lifetime. And all through the ages, people have wanted to wait and see and expect. And like comments that Jesus made about, you know, somebody tells you it's in the hills or he's somewhere else. Don't listen to them. We don't know. We don't know when Jesus will return. And we are called to be ready, as with the 10 bridesmaids. But more than that, we are called to use the gifts that we have been given. They may be spiritual gifts, and there are about three particular sections in Scripture that spell out spiritual gifts, and that's not a complete list either. Or they may be natural gifts. And Jesus here is talking in this parable about using what we have been given for the blessing of others and to the glory of God. Not abusing our gifts by not using them. We all have been given gifts, we are reminded in Scripture, including at least one spiritual gift. And we are called to use our gifts for God's glory. The third condemned for not using the gifts they had been given. So I wonder, as you think about what gifts you have. I meant to bring it with me, but the red envelope that we did in the house group not so long ago, where we all wrote down what we thought other people's gifts were, and everybody in the fellowship was given one of those red envelopes. It's still in my filing desk. No, that doesn't mean the bin. It means right next to me where I sit to prepare. It's right there. I sometimes think about it, what it said, what you saw as my gifts. Go back to those envelopes if you've still got them when you get home and have a look at them and say, am I using these gifts that other people see in me? Am I using them for you, Lord? Or have I sort of let them drift? Have I let them go to one side? The parable talks about making use of the gifts that we have been given by God. What are they for? They're for the building up of the fellowship, certainly spiritual gifts are, and to bring glory to God. They're twofold. The parable of the 10 bridesmaids, making sure we're ready for the return of Christ. And one of those ways is to making sure that the gifts that we have been given by God are being used. That's an exercise. So it may be a fairly short sermon today, but there's homework. Look at those envelopes and see what they say. And ask yourself the question, Lord, am I using these gifts to your glory? Or have they sort of moved to the side and I focused on other things? Or maybe not so much on serving you. And then we come to the final judgment. And it's often said, isn't it, that we look at passages of scripture which we know so well, the story of the sheep and the goats being separated, and how often we quote about that and talk about, inasmuch as you do it unto the least of these my brethren, you clothe them and you feed them and you meet their needs. Inasmuch as you do it unto the least of these my brethren, Jesus says, you do it unto me. Right? We know the story. We know the fact that the goats didn't look after the needs of other people. And I think for the first time, as I thought about this passage, it suddenly struck me that the goats and the sheep were all together. And then they were separated. And surely that is a picture of the believers and the unbelievers. Surely it's a picture of the world that we live in. Now, I don't suggest even John goes up and starts to speak to some of his contacts and call them goats. But that's the point that's being made. The goats are those that don't believe and don't see any need to show their faith. It's not works, it's not salvation by good works. It's faith which results in good works, meeting the needs of others. Some of which we have just been praying about. The needs of our community, which are very obvious to us when we go around in this area. The final judgment. It's a cautionary tale, isn't it? It's almost an examination. What's an examination about? It's about, I remember it well. When I did my exams at Spurgeon's College, I had probably, how long would it have been? Probably something like 25, 27, 28 years since I'd done exams. And I thought, I'm sure it's all changed since I had sat down and taken my GCEs, as it was then, O-levels. And as I got there, there was the desk, which was bare apart from one piece of paper, and on it were written some questions, and we were told to start. And I looked down it and I thought, well, okay, I could probably answer one and a half out of those. How many have I got to answer? I've got to answer four. Okay, what other questions are there? Oh, there's nothing on the back. Oh dear. It was exactly the same as I remembered at school. All right? It's a test of what we have accomplished, what we have learned. Okay? How we have used our time. God is saying to us there will come a time when there is a test, there is an examination. Judgment is just a big word for examination, isn't it, of us. What we're like, what we are about as people. And so we see in that picture the goats being separated from the sheep. The sheep know the master. He calls them by name. We're called sheep, aren't we, by Jesus. Sheep aren't very bright, but we know who the master is and we know his voice. So we have these three stories, two parables and a final illustration of the sheep and the goats there in Matthew 25. And I want to take us on to say that they are all part of the same message. There are three aspects. They're about how we use our time, our talents, and our treasures. Our time, our talents, and our treasures. Are we using our time? Are we making enough time for God? Are we making enough time for others and meeting their needs? Are we using those talents that God has given us, both natural and spiritual? And are we using our treasures? Sharing what we have. You remember that story in Mark 12 where Jesus observed the rich people going into the temple and putting in big offerings into the offering box. And it said they put in great amount out of their greater amount, in effect, is what it's saying. They had a lot. There was an excess and they gave part of it. Whereas the widow, what did she do? Gave her all, two small coins. And she was applauded by Jesus for what she had done. Not given out of excess, but given out of all she had. She was giving what she could to God, sacrificial giving. And that's not just money, that's again talents, and that's again time. The treasures, the thing that we build around us. How do we use our homes? We have some people in the Faith Fellowship who are very, very hospitable in opening their homes to us every week so that we can meet together and encourage one another. That's a treasure. And they are giving of that treasure for our benefit. We have those that have been blessed with money and they're giving of their money to support the work of the church. So as we think about this chapter, chapter 25, being rewarded for our faithfulness. I believe those are the measures that God will apply to us. How have you used your time? How have you used your talents? And how have you used the treasures that I've first given to you? We can sit on our hands and commit ourselves to God and say, well, I'm just going to wait until Christ comes again. People over the centuries have done that. We've heard the stupid stories of people going into the hills, selling everything up and then going into the hills and waiting for Jesus to come because somebody has told them that he's coming at a particular time. I don't know what they do when he doesn't. Come back with their hands behind their back and their heads bowed, I should think. How foolish. Because we're told quite clearly we don't know the day or the hour. What we do know is we have to be about the Lord's business. Don't sit on our hands. Metaphorically, make sure you're using your gifts. Make sure you're using your time. And make sure you're using what God has first given to you in service to other, which will bring glory to his name. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the way in which you spell out what measures you place upon our lives. We thank you for the free gift of eternal life that you offer to each one of us, the gift bought by Jesus upon the cross for us. Father, we thank you that when we turn to you, when we turn about in our lives, and when we give our lives to you in repentance, you forgive us and you promise us the gift of eternal life. But Lord, we are reminded too that with that comes responsibility. Responsibility to use our time, our talents, and our treasures in service to you. Lord, speak to us. Remind us of those areas where we need to spend more time with you, or where we need to use our talents more, or where we need to use of the resources you've first given to us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.